Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback, episode 410, as this week we bring you the conclusion of WCW Great American Bash 1992. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. I am joined by my co-host, the other half of the watch-along tag team champions of the world, Shane Shadows. Shane, you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to the year 1992, and wrap up the Great American Bash from the legendary location of Albany, Georgia?
Been waiting for 30 years. Let's go.
All right, let's do this. First of all, I want to thank our listeners again, specifically the listeners from the great nation of Canada, where this past week we were the 94th most listened to wrestling podcast in all of Canada. Good to be back on that list, and I know.
Canadians
love the Great American Bash.
Absolutely. And why wouldn't they? It's right in the name.
That's right. Yes. Also, just visit us at patreon.com/waybackplayback because, our special, something special for the listeners this weekend, a bonus episode of Shotgun Saturday Night. I mean, I mean,
just what more could you that.
I know.
What more could you ask for?
Not something you get every day.
I was thinking the other day, Patrick, if I may jump in here real quickly before we conclude the match, I'd love to get some feedback from our listening public out there, the people who week in, week out listen to our show. I'd love to hear some critiques of my work. I would love to hear what you guys think out there. If you guys, and I can handle honest to goodness criticism, just like I can take and just like I can accept praise. So I'd love for people just to reach out and just put something out there. I'd like to see how I'm doing. I've been doing this, I guess, here. Well, where are we at? About a half a year mark here for me.
Getting there, yeah.
Officially. Yeah, I'm pretty close. I'd just like to know what you guys think. I'd like for you to reach out and, you know, what you think of my insight, my analysis. Am I exciting? Am I boring? Am I... Just tell me what you think. I'd love to hear it because I'd like to improve upon my work. It's always a work in progress, and I've enjoyed it so far, but I'd just like to hear what people think of it so far. So reach out and touch someone.
Well, I think we've been doing a better job setting your level so that your volume comes across at about the same level as mine. It's a work in progress, but that part was kind of important. So yeah, I think people can hear you better now. Hopefully that'll make a difference for a lot of them. And
then once I quit falling asleep, that was
a moment. Yes.
Yeah.
You'll have to go back and see if you can find that one, kids. That'll be your fun game. See if you can find that one in the archives.
In retrospect, ECW wasn't as good as we thought.
Oh, well, see. No spoilers. All right. Okay, didn't quite get what I'd wanted to. I'll have to go back at the end of the episode and do this, but I didn't quite get what I wanted to in terms of doing the show reviews, but I can give you the summary. You know, obviously the show was a big deal in July of 92, got reviewed by both of the major pro wrestling trade publications. We'll start with Wade Keller at the Pro Wrestling Torch. We're about to see this match. Wade Keller named Sting and Vader the best match of the show at 4.25 stars, which, you'll have to determine for yourself whether that's where it should be. The worst match, 1.25 stars for Hase and Hashimoto against the Freebirds.
Okay. I can accept that.
Okay, that's fine. Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer gave Sting and Vader 4 stars. His worst match of the show, which he rated a dud, Ricky Steamboat and Nikita Koloff against Steve Williams and Terry Gordy. Thought Doc and Gordy were too methodical, and just thought that portion of the show was boring.
We watched that match last week, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
I didn't see that was a dud match.
I don't, maybe,
even back then, I mean, let's just face it. Now, in all fairness, what did he rate the Hashimoto and Hase versus Freebirds? Was that like 5 stars? Because
No, there was nothing 5 stars.
Well, because he's known for anything that's Japanese.
Now, that's an unfair characterization. I'm pretty sure he buried the Halloween Havoc 1992 match between Chono and Muda. So
how could you? Or no, it was Chono and Rude.
Chono and Muda. No, He buried whenever the Chono Muda match was, he buried it. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, he thought, I mean, he thought a lot of the action, some of the action from the tag team tournament was boring. So. And
everyone's got their opinion. Sure.
That's right.
Looking back at it, it still sticks out as a peculiar choice for the Great American Bash event.
Oh, yes. The tournament. Yes, it does.
But I don't think anything's been particularly bad or dull or anything like that out of this. I mean, different strokes for different folks, I guess.
Yeah, you got to remember also for the next 2 years after this, they didn't do a Great American Bash. They didn't bring that back until 95.
Now, isn't that something?
Yeah, that's hard to believe, but you know, I mean, Eric Bischoff took over, and it was one of the things he didn't think was working. So.
Yeah.
But he is also the one who brought it back. So you know, that was more about getting a monthly pay per view in. But yeah.
You could make that argument after 91 and 92 bashes. You could make that argument. That maybe this is less effective.
The bloom went off the rose. Yeah, it's possible.
Sure.
Okay. Anyway, let's. We will take this time out and we'll be back to kick off the rest of the show. All right, and while we're doing this commercial, Shane, just want to point out, hi to everybody listening. You can join us on the Black Scorpion tier, patreon.com/waybackplayback. 408 episodes of the show are there, including, I think, 22 bonus episodes now, including, we just recorded Pat O'Connor versus Buddy Rogers from 1961. There's just so much stuff that we can go through, a lot of it on YouTube that we cover every couple of weeks in the Black Scorpion tier, just trying to put up a new episode, and we'd love to have you with us. Just sign up now, sign up for the first tier, the Time Traveler tier. You get all the episodes in advance and you get the episodes without commercials. If you want the bonus stuff, you sign up for the Black Scorpion tier, which is what most of our people end up doing. Shane.
And I will do you one better for the entirety of this summer because I'm excited. If you sign up for the Black Scorpion tier, we want your name and your address, and we will send you a classic 8x10 of a mystery wrestler. We're a way back playback. We're all about the past here. We will send you. I will send you out of my personal collection a random 8x10 picture from the previous generation. I got hundreds of photos.
Okay.
Between now and the end of the summer, if you sign up with the Black Scorpion tier, I will send you an 8x10 photograph. How's that?
Okay. Say? Yeah. So sometime between, so if you sign up for Black Scorpion tier between now and Labor Day, let's say.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
That is a great deal. would any of those wrestlers be Shane Shadows?
Well, it could possibly be, but I mean,
okay.
More to the point, I mean, I got pictures of guys from the whole wrestling history. Just, you know, it used to be a common thing. That's how wrestlers got their names in front of promoters before the internet. They would send stacks of 8x10s and informational promotional packets. And, you know, and I got a pretty good collection of stuff, and I can definitely afford to trim down. So if you sign up, I like to give things back to people who are given to us. So
all right.
Between now and Labor Day, get a free 8x10.
That sounds like a good plan. So check us out. Sign up, patreon.com/waybackplayback. And if you're a listener, if you have friends who like the old pro wrestling stuff, tell your friends about this show. We're coming up on our 8th anniversary, and we want as many of you aboard as possible for that, because who knows where we're going to end up next. We've got a lot of good stuff ahead, including this whole 92 bash, and we're very proud to have all of you aboard here on Wayback Playback on the Creative Control Network. And we're back. We wrapped up the other semifinal match in the tag team tournament. We're at 1 hour, 52 minutes, and 27 seconds. That's where we agreed to start, and You got Tony Schiavone and Magnum TA together, and Magnum has a ponytail, and Tony's eyes are closed. That's what I have.
Nice.
Okay, close enough?
There we go. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So if everybody can get there, we're going to wrap this show up with two big matches, two big championship matches, actually. And we're going to do it together in 3, 2, 1. Okay, go. All right. So, yeah, Magnum says Rhodes and Windham are going to have their work cut out for them because they wrestled twice and Doc and Gordy wrestled once. And there's Ron Simmons. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Ron. You're looking very dapper.
Yes, the fans love you. The fans love Ron Simmons here in Albany, Georgia.
And he's 2 weeks away from the one of the biggest moments, one of the real high moments of the Bill Watts WCW regime. Beating Vader for the spoiler alert.
The crowd is mic'd like they're it sounds like they're happy to see him. However, you can see a lot of empty chairs from there. So.
Right. There's a lot of darkness in the upper tier. That's okay. Yeah. I mean,
he wants the title match. He wants the title. So.
As he certainly should. Ron has.
And this time when he goes for the title, he will definitely not be facing Lex Luger. So let's go back to the ring, folks. It's time.
They did a real good build up. They did a real good build up for that Luger match, and I just
they did.
You kind of cut the knees right out from underneath of him here.
All right, one fall, 1 hour time limit.
Oh, he's wearing the helmet, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Wasn't too many more times that you would see the helmet.
Big Van Vader. The helmet's a good part of the act, but yeah, he's on good terms with New Japan at the moment. So.
Yes. The helmet's great.
Fears no man, feels no pain. You know the deal. You know the bit.
Yeah. And Vader. Someone fears no man and feels no pain, and the other guy's Vader. Harley Race is the man.
That's right.
Handsome Harley, baby.
Okay. Yep. Long-awaited return match from where Vader injured Sting.
Yes, I guess that was in the Omni, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take a real quick pause here while we're... Sting's getting introduced here. A man called Sting is on his way out. A big championship, right, man. I want to take a real quick pause, and I'm going to be joining the action. You carry it for here for about 2 minutes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, yep. Okay, there comes Sting. He's wearing the red, white, and blue for the Great American Bash, which is always a nice touch. Nice Sergeant Pepper jacket with the fringe. This is definitely an era of Sting that sort of draws to an end when the Monday Night Wars began. But yeah, here's Sting. He's in the middle of his second title reign. He's had quite a run. Looks good. Looks well built with got the flat top going. And he's ready, and you got referee Randy Anderson. Don't call me Pee-wee. And Jim Ross is talking about his wins over Flair and Luger and Sid Vicious, which are all good choices to mention. All right. Okay. Here we go. Everybody's looking at the belt. All right. Farley's shaking hands with Vader. Big test for Sting. Vader's bigger. Vader's taller. Even with a flat top. There we go. All right. They're smack talking. Luke Skywalker, and here we go. All right, Vader backs him up.
Yep.
Hey. And, you know, and obviously Jesse's putting over Harley Race, you know, 7-time former champion, is a bigger star than either of the two guys in the ring, but what can you do about that? Oh, yeah. There we go. Ouch. Yeah. I mean, he's not going to take as many shots as Mick Foley took against Vader, but he's letting Vader lay him in here in the early going.
I don't know. I would dare say in his time, Harley was a bigger deal than Sting and Vader.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he was. I mean, being the NWA World Champion meant more when Harley was holding it than being the WCW champion meant in 1992. Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. And I mean, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing. You can probably do it on the video game. I wouldn't mind seeing Sting in his prime against Harley in his prime, or Harley in his prime against Vader in his prime, for that matter.
I think Harley versus Vader is the better match.
Jim and I did a bonus match once. I think it was from World Class with Harley versus Bundy, and that was something. Yeah.
Harley had a style where he could dig in with about anybody.
Right.
You know, there weren't as many high flyers in his era. But I mean, he did wrestle Mil Máscaras.
Yeah. Harley took on everybody. That was part of being the touring NWA World Champion.
Yeah. And not always doing his match.
Nope.
Which is a nice, you know.
I mean, you can watch Harley and Backlund's on here somewhere, yeah, I think. Or if it's not, it's on YouTube.
He wore the red, white, and blue jacket and the face paint 2 years earlier. He was kind of anointed wearing that jacket and that face paint when he beat Flair for the title for the first time. Big belly to back suit.
Yeah, and a big clothesline. And his matchup with Nikita in 91, not nearly as big a deal.
No.
For numerous reasons.
Yeah, but you know what? I enjoyed that feud in the sense that I remember that great Super Brawl match and Nikita's interference that led up to his match.
But oh, yeah.
To me, that match was probably one of the highlights of that bash in the 91 bash pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was. There weren't many highlights, but yeah.
There was, I mean, it was like being the nicest guy in prison for sure, right. But I mean, it was. You know, the problem that with matches like that for those of you without the experience of having been in a ring, which of course was, as we talk about so often, you have to have a leader in a match and you have to have a follower in a match. And I think that neither Sting and Nikita both were guys who were better when they were in the matches being led by somebody had more experience or had the understanding of how to call the match. But when you got two guys who are natural followers, for lack of a better way of putting it, sometimes the matches don't click quite the same.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's my pithy insight for this week. So.
Well, yeah, Sting and Vader, though, always they mesh together well.
They really do.
And I guess maybe Vader was, Vader as the heel should have been calling the match.
He was probably the better caller. And usually, historically, the heels did call the matches. But right. I think that this in its own sense has that superhero, supervillain type of feel to it.
Oh, yeah.
These guys had that like few others. Because of just the strength of their characters, which is a strong representation to both of them for their body.
Yeah, this is Batman and Bane, as you know, or Superman and Doomsday, whatever, however you want to, you know, however you want to frame it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, oh right, oh,
there we go. There we go, Stinger.
And sometimes the superhero has to dig down deep into some of the and. Into the questionable tactics, fighting fire with fire.
Right.
The the bumps that Vader has taken already in this matchup are impressive for a 400-pound man.
Oh yeah, he's making Sting look more than credible here. Yeah. You can see how this can go either way.
Yeah, and the crowd's really with it because it's almost like he's chopping down this big tree, but I remember watching this match.
Right.
This one really sticks out. I think I mentioned it, as I so often mention it when we do these matches from this era. I watched this with my friend, the late Dave Albright.
Right.
At his house with his black market cable box. Statue of limitations have run out.
Yeah.
Amongst other things. But we would all get together on these shows, and I just remember how we were all just absolutely shocked. Oh, nice small package.
All right. Nice.
We were shocked at the result, but looking at it here with a different set of eyes and a different comprehension 30 years later, you can see because of the way Vader's building it up big.
Yeah.
Every bump he's taken has there's a lot of snap
and Sting's getting the shine here, which is and getting a lot of offense, which
strong he has to look strong.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't some guy who's on his way out. This is the baby face who represents this company.
Yes,
for better or for worse, and there was a lot of, but I don't think that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's not.
Go back in time and look at
you're going to feel that. Yeah.
The mismanagement, the conflicting bookings, the problems with such and such. Talent was largely not a problem. They had a ton of talent and good matches, I enjoyed WCW far more than I did WWF as a television presentation, because I thought the matches were, if you like something a little bit grittier, this was the place to be. Now, they lost a little bit of that along the way, but it was still an edgier type of wrestling.
Yeah, I saw both groups that summer. I mean, WWF, fortunately, I was, my buddies and I were at the house shows where, you had Savage and Flair, and that made a difference, obviously. That was something that WCW didn't have at that point, but Sting and Vader was they were putting on great matches. We got to be there in person in Asheville for the end of the feud at Super Brawl 3, and that
you were there?
Yeah, we were there in person. Awesome match. Yep. Which Jim and I have already done. Yeah, the white Stinger. Yeah.
Look at that. I mean, that's just bullish strength right there.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they were a good pairing there, these two.
And they had a lot of good matches. And let's just be, for those of you who we can look through the eyes of nostalgia, nobody was drawing worth anything in the summer of 1992.
No.
I mean, Wembley Stadium rocked for SummerSlam.
And yeah, but that was
probably the biggest event.
That was literally a once in a lifetime show, though.
Yes, yes, yes. But most of the business was down. It was rocked. There was a lot of scandals back then. Scandals affected people's business, not
didn't enhance it. Yeah.
Oh,
there we go. Turning them over, doing the scorpion, the sting.
So look at that. A little insult to injury there. I like spots like that in the match where it's like, here we're, this guy's going to try to use. Yeah, obviously, it's a less effective version of the hold.
Right.
But it's not his bread and butter either. But it's like, it's still.
Doesn't look like it's fun to be in now. Yeah.
No. Good Lord. If he was really cranking back on that.
Oh, yeah. He could do some damage. Yes. Absolutely.
Pee-wee Anderson, your referee out in front.
Uh-huh.
Nice expressions on Pee Wee's face. I've always enjoyed Pee Wee's work. Unfortunately, right.
Like, come on, Sting.
Pee Wee died a little young.
Yeah. Sadly, no longer with us.
Yeah.
All right.
Cancer, I believe. It was just the same as Mark Curtis. They were.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
They kind of reminded me of each other, in the terms of the movements and size and,
Oh, yeah. Face paint is gone. Let's see.
Yeah, the sweat's just getting in. We're 10 plus minutes in here.
And I'm looking at the fans in the front row, and there looks like they're sweating a little bit too. So,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sting's just got to reach out and grab
if he's gonna. Yeah, he's got to pull himself that extra bit to the ropes, because you can see, you know, he's close enough, but he's not there. Oh, he fights us. He managed to fight his way out. Well, it didn't look great, but Ross is selling it.
Yeah. I agree with that. And I tell you why, because I don't like it when a babyface grabs the ropes or puts his foot on the ropes.
Yeah, I don't like it when the babyface is in that hold for a long time and they, you know.
You got to be able to get out, and you got to be able to. You got to be careful where you put it. You know, and there's such a trick to put the baby face over like this, and when you put him in spots where he has to look like he's reaching for his last desperation without digging. You know, there's desperation and there's desperation. Mm-hmm. Putting your foot on the rope is not. And that's like you're taking a shortcut.
Right.
And you don't want to think that your heroes are taking shortcuts. It's just not a good theme.
Yeah, but by the same token, I think that, you know, in WWE, they killed off Kurt Angle's ankle lock by having guys in it too long and still being able to fight their way out.
Yeah, you kill submissions sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to carefully two count kick out.
Right.
You got to be careful with submission holds. You're absolutely right, because it loses credibility if you're there too long. And with some exceptions. You know, sometimes Flair would keep guys in figure four, but it's like they would tense up and come back off of it. It is kind of a high spot as opposed to a letdown type of moment. But
I think with Sting and Vader, you can take, you know, you can take this match, their match from Starrcade in 92, the King of Cable finals. Yeah, and the Super Brawl match, you know, Ed, you can match that with just about any. You can put that up against just about any wrestling trilogy of matches you got.
I like that.
That's a good, yeah.
Something different out of the Stinger playbook there, see, and I like that too. Every match doesn't have to follow that same cookie cutter pattern. Once in a while, it's good to bring something out. And these guys are definitely, you know, definitely bringing it here.
Right. I mean, Flair and Steamboat's always going to be, you know, the quintessential wrestling trilogy, but you know, this is good. You know, Taker and Shawn Michaels had a good trilogy. I just want to say 97, you know, going into 98.
Yeah. They had those big matches. Nice tackle here, sending Vader tussling through the ropes, but
right. I mean, what they're doing is obviously taking, you know, I mean, they're doing it and making it clear that what they're doing is taking a toll on each other, you know. It's not that they're suddenly exhausted for no reason, which is.
Yeah. It's something that happens a lot on TV now. You get 2 minutes in and it's like everyone's just beat. And you notice a lot of times, I mean, they skip the parts of the matches like a real opening. It's like they go right to the kicks and the punches. And
right. Because they're not given time, for one thing.
Yes. You know, you got to give it. You got to really give guys time to get to develop these type of match skills. It's like you don't learn this stuff, you know, doing video games or watching the video games.
No, you don't.
You know, that's what a lot of the matches come across like, and we've talked about that before. But I mean, look at this. It's just. You know, building drama and anticipation, and you know, and everything didn't always hit the big move and kick out and close up on the guy's face. It's a lot more nuanced than that. It's like,
I mean, what they call the WWE main event style. Well, it's changed, first of all, but it's. You know, it's built up over years, and you know,
exactly.
Yeah, you can't just manufacture. You know, you can't just manufacture a main event. You know, main event match that gets over.
Correct. I like that little piece there where they kicked Kiwi
in the face,
with the German bridge,
right,
the pin. But he was, just because he was out of position, he probably
not every little bit like that has to be a ref bump where the ref is out. There you go, stinger splash.
Now here's the big setup. Here's the big setup for the finish coming up here.
Yeah,
because it's like, this was awkward. But
he overshot.
But Leon was in a weird spot too. So it's like Sting knocked himself out on the post.
Yeah.
He just laid there. And you know, and that's good.
Yeah,
that's a good, that's good storytelling, because it's like, it's, you know,
you can see it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just laying there. He's like, it was awkward.
Yeah. Right.
It didn't look right. It's like, why is Vader
you can have Jim Ross and Jesse explaining what's going on to the people at home, but is this something that people in the audience can see? They're like,
So he kicks out there. He barely comes out. If you catch it, he's gapping himself. He just did it again.
Yeah. And it looks realistic. You know, it looks like, okay, if he hit his head, I can see. If he hits his head on the metal post, I can see that.
Yes. So he came up bloody the first time, and maybe it wasn't enough, and he got a little bit more, and now he's fighting, got on his feet.
But you'd have to be knowing what to look for, right? You know, people at home aren't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a different one for me. I usually don't point that kind of stuff out, but I always pick it up.
I know.
Yeah.
There's the powerbomb.
Eddie crushed him with it.
Yeah. Boom. And Vader's your champion.
And there it is.
They telegraphed it to a certain degree with, you know, Sting getting the hot start in the match, them not putting the championship match on last, you know, but it's still a surprise, you know.
I didn't see it coming.
No, I didn't at the time either. It didn't occur to me, this is Vader taking the title. It was just, okay, well, Vader's the best guy they could put up against Sting right now.
Yeah, he's a great monster. And he was, in fact, at the time that it happened, though, I would dare say he wasn't that over. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though this match was outstanding, and they had been building it up, Vader was not that over, because he wasn't around that much. He had come around and been in and out for a couple years. Here it is. There it is. Bam. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But see, he didn't quite hit it the way he meant to hit it.
No, he didn't. Ooh. But for whatever, but they picked the camera that you don't see, you know, you don't see it clearly. So,
right.
I mean, they did a good job picking the angle on the replay. Okay, and I know you might get a commercial here, Shane, but they're checking on Sting in the ring. So yeah, Grizzly Smith is up there. Noted medic Grizzly Smith is there. Ron Simmons is there. Nikita's there, out there to check on Sting. Ole Anderson's out there. It's just like,
sensitive, caring cat that Ole Anderson was
reputable. Ole Anderson, senior troubleshooting referee, is out there. He's wearing his ref costume. Yeah. But they don't have like the EMTs or anybody out there.
Did we ever try the senior troubleshooting referee?
What's that?
Did we ever try the?
No, thank God. No, thank God we did not. No. I mean, we could have tried it with that friend of Bob's who was one of the mass medics.
But yes,
if we were going to do it at all. Yeah.
Jim White or Bill White or
Right. All right. Well, then Jim Ross is talking about, I think Sting deserves a rematch. Well, yep. Well, anyway. Okay, back to Tony and Magnum. All right. Come on, Magnum, put it over.
Right. I like the idea, honestly, looking back at it. Mm-hmm. One of the few unheralded things that WCW carried over from Crockett was keeping Magnum TA in a good employment situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was
nice.
A great announcer.
They
always kept him in a role, though, especially when Dusty was around.
Right.
And I think that was good because he was a guy who was, you know, almost certain to be the champion at one point or another. And unfortunately, right. Harley is hyped.
Oh, yeah. Just like it was meant to be, he says. The king of athletes. The king of wrestling.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Will we see a rematch?
There ain't gonna be no rematch.
There gonna be, yeah, exactly.
No one won.
Yeah. Yeah, history has been made.
It has, in fact, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Okay.
In an era where the title didn't change hands every 5 minutes.
That's true.
It was noteworthy.
Well, it's about to change hands twice in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. And that fine tradition of transitional heel champions.
Yeah, I know. Jesse's arguing that they don't have to give Sting a rematch. Well, we'll table that discussion for now. It's not because we got a main event here. Yeah. But Ole Anderson's signed the contest. Oh, that's why he's out there. But yeah, I'm okay with that being either 4 or 4.25 stars. Yeah, I can see that rating for Sting and Vader.
I'm not big on star ratings.
I know, but can I say it was really, really good? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess that's what you are saying.
I never liked having to quantify stuff like that, but that's what you're saying. You know, this was really good. This was like a main event. Yeah. Really good main event. Yes. All right, so yeah, that's the tough part with this with doing this tournament is, you know, you have guys having to wrestle multiple times, and you know, not everything's gonna click. So
right, it's not everything's gonna click, and you can't just do a patternized match. You know, if you have the kind of forethought there to think that, you know, these guys are scouting this, you know, we're wrestling again later, you know, and things that you did successfully earlier got blocked, you know, thinking that the other team was watching you.
Mm-hmm.
This is 4 outstanding talents.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And fans are invested in Rhodes of Women at this point.
They believe that either team could win. They have to.
Right.
Okay, so we got a lot of referees in the ring here.
We got 3 referees. Oh,
Mike Atkins is holding.
Here come the Steiners. They're not in this match. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Right. They're here for a fight, I suspect.
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell because they brought their pajamas with them. I mean, no, they're dressed to wrestle, obviously.
Who's in the background? Who are the guy? Tell me. I know who they are, but let's see if you know who they are. Who are the 2 guys behind Ole?
Jeez. Okay, well.
One of them. There's 2.
Italian Stallion.
No. That's Joey Maggs.
Oh, Joey Maggs, yeah.
Bob Cook.
Oh, yeah, the cooker. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the cooker's in there.
Cooker got a paycheck.
Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker.
Right.
And I'm not sure who the, I thought at first the other guy was James Earl Wright, who was also the state control, but I think he had too much hair.
Yeah, that's possibly true. Yeah, but they managed to clear out the Steiners. Just the Steiners dropping by to say hello.
Yeah, extra mania here, running wild. Joey Maggs, he was from Baltimore, and the Cooker, who's running on here with us before.
Oh yeah. Well, they took care of Bob Cook. Yeah.
I got to see I think I told this story at the 92 Great American Bash and house show in Baltimore. Ole did his special enforcer referee gimmick there that night as well, which was the only time I ever got to see Ole in person.
Hmm. Well, I think we can rule out we can probably rule out a fancy ref bump for the finish. Although, who knows?
Probably. Ole was a hell of a bumper, though.
Yeah. I mean, he was.
Oh, I mean, let's just be honest. Always one of the best workers ever. One of the best promos in particular, especially as a heel. There was no guy more, to me, it was scarier when a guy was like cold-hearted about what he was saying to you.
Right.
Ole was a great promo. Outstanding worker. He might not play as well today.
Now,
as far as his ring work, because it was very, work the hold, work the arm, build the heat type of stuff that today's matches, as we always talk about, phone number no longer active. I love that.
Yeah, so Vader is standing by with Lance Russell and Gordon Solie on the hotline. if you want to call in and talk to him,
Lance, what do you got to say? Well. Vader, you gotta hand it to him. I love Lance.
Yeah.
Many men in Baltimore. Did I mention that one before? I think I probably mentioned that before.
For whatever reason,
he was at that house show, I have no idea. But
like I said, I would love it if somebody could find the tapes of that 900 line and make alternate commentary out of it. So, yeah. Can you imagine?
Do you think anybody's ever, do you think that stuff exists?
I don't know. Anything is possible. A lot of stuff's on YouTube because of people, taping it at home. I don't know who would tape the 900 line though.
Oh, that would be great. God, that would be great. Cause I used to call that stuff too. You know, the line that I used to call, there used to be a number.
Chat line?
The Capital Center.
Oh,
had a number that you could call where you could get the results. Because I couldn't, obviously, when I was a kid, I couldn't always go. But it was always advertised in the pro wrestler periodical that the Capital Center sent out for all of its upcoming events.
Okay.
For the wrestling and so forth that I have a really good collection of. 976 Slam.
Ah.
So for a day or two after the house shows down there, try to call in, and it would be busy, 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 and then all of a sudden, I finally get through, and it was, I think it was, who was it, Harvey Smilovitz?
Bernie Smilovitz?
Maybe it was Bernie? Yeah. The Pro Wrestler Hotline, and, last night, and then they would read up and down the card, and I'd sit there and write it down, I remember, Magnificent Morocco beat Bret Hart, Tony Garea beat Mr. Fuji, and then the main event. I'm trying to write so fast that I couldn't keep up with it. But
or you could just watch Channel 4 and George Michael would have the highlights. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, a couple week delay. I don't think that today's fans appreciate the pains that sometimes yesterday's fans had to go through to have access to.
I know. Well, that was part of keeping it that was part of protecting the business.
I think it was kind of part of the cult of wrestling. I think it was more popular then, but the fan base today's fans are very fervent, but I don't think that the old fan base was so quick to take a dump on like the different organizations and everything.
Right.
I think it's just it was they expected the guys to switch around. They
well, yeah, I mean that's what wrestlers did.
We didn't have the internet, obviously, and we didn't.
Yeah, the internet changes everything.
Yeah, and it wasn't on every cable channel every night of the week. It was, you know, it was mainly a weekend programming or late night programming type of thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you had to dig around for the shows. You know, true. It was being a fan then was a lot different than today. The wrestling today is far more mainstream. You know, it's on websites and CBS Sports and NBC Sports. And, you know, you got the access to all this different stuff here, you know, streaming services. You know, back then, I mean, I still got a collection of probably pretty close to 200 VHS tapes of stuff that I recorded over the years. And I've gotten rid of some, you know, but it's like we going to see it now. We're never going to see it again.
Yeah.
So if we want it, we better preserve it.
That's true.
And not to mention the tapes were very expensive for a long time.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So I was always very particular what I kept. I didn't record it.
You didn't record everything, no. Yeah.
Yeah, very rare was it. Now, some guys you find here now who had that, but when you're thinking about in 1982, 83, 84 dollars, spending $10 for a videotape, for 6 hours of recording material.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing, though. You got 6 hours.
Yeah, you had to be sometimes very picky in what you kept. Because remember, I mean, this was an era where, but I mean, a lot of our listeners are probably younger people who didn't live through it. I mean, I don't know what our specific demos are, but.
Yep.
I think we get all across
the spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's good. The people who like to watch, enjoy the old stuff as they walk back through it, and people who are looking at it for the first time, and you know.
Okay. And they're trying to get it
better when it wasn't as corporate, when it wasn't.
Yeah,
everybody in the world talking like they're smart to wrestling. I think that's probably what irritates me the most.
Well, sorry about that.
Yeah, well, you don't have to apologize.
No, I mean,
you took your bumps.
The other part of it was, you know, the business let down its guard. I mean, you had Vince McMahon for tax purposes saying, it's a show.
Yeah, and I don't think you had to be a surgeon to figure that out, but I mean...
No, but I mean, there's always a certain level of mystery as, you know, you can know that something is probably not 100% on the up and up, but you didn't know the how, you know?
You're right.
You didn't know the where and how and the, you didn't know all the details, and I didn't want to know all the details for the most part.
No, it's like, you know, I knew what I knew, but... Even what I thought I knew, like when I broke in, it's like I didn't know I didn't know nearly what I thought I knew. And I was afraid to, you know, to be too vocal when I was first starting.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't want to say this. I mean, I was, you know, just to give you a point of reference here, is obviously we're not trying to gloss over this matchup that's taking place, but we're nearly going.
There we go.
I remember I was at the wrestling school. I was in the office with Neil Superior, my trainer, kind of STF moved by Gordy here.
Yep.
Dustin's keeping his chin down because he feels if he. Oh, now he caught it.
He's got him.
But anyway, I mean, in the trash, in the small little office trash can back behind the desk. There was two or three or four, what he called the kayfabe sheets, and I never knew they existed. I had no idea that this stuff existed, like this weekly type thing. And he's like throwing them away, and I'm like, can I have
brother? Yeah, right. Oh yeah, getting to look at that stuff for the first time. It was a revelation. Yeah, like
But the words stuck with me forever. He said, yes, you can take them. Just make sure they don't fall into the wrong hands.
Right.
And that always stuck with me. And it's different now. And
yeah, but spoiler alert, they fell into the wrong hands.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
not because of you.
Yeah, the whole business did, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole business fell into the wrong hands. But I remember just reading those things over. I probably still have them because I never threw away
right
much of anything. So, but you know, it was like, I think it was like from around this time or like May. I think it covered the WrestleWar 92. Mm-hmm. One of them did. I mean, they were not necessarily all in order, but they were from that year. It was it's like the world opened up.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I remember when most notably, I lived about, I drove, it was, I only lived like a mile or so from Neil at that point. But when Kerry Von Erich died, he said he had a copy of the Observer. But I think that was the first Observer I ever read. I think all the other ones.
Oh, gosh, good. That's of all the ones to, yeah, of all the ones to pick. Yeah.
Oh, Modified Victory Roll here by Dustin. And that was the first Observer I ever read was the one on Kerry Von Erich, which was just
it's well written. It is.
You know, and to me that was always kind of Meltzer's bread and butter for a long time was his pieces on these wrestling, these historical wrestling figures. But he's not so good with it anymore because I don't think that he. I mean, they're still pretty good. For the most part, it's hard to go into as much depth with most of these guys.
Yeah,
there's only so many guys who are ever going to have the story of a Kerry Von Erich.
That's true.
But that was, you know, the funny part was, well, not so funny, but you know, Kerry was in the main event of the very first card I ever wrestled on, and that was only like 2 or 3 weeks before his death.
Yeah, that's
it. Was it really kind of rocked me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I was in law school and I was doing the sports radio show that my friends and I were doing, because I guess that's what people did in law school, you know.
Right.
I do the wrestling segment at the end of the show, and I built it up for about 45 seconds and mentioned that Kerry Von Erich had killed himself. And it's just like, you know, the air just went completely out of the room. It's, yeah. I mean,
you don't expect young men to die.
No.
And you really don't expect great Lariat by Barry.
Okay. And Barry's float over on the suplex. I always loved those.
Barry was top notch.
Always.
Yeah, until he quit caring. Barry was the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's like every comeback, every time he took off and every comeback, Barry lost a little something.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Gained a little weight. Only you're behind the count, buddy.
Now I've got the sleeper hold here, so.
Yes, we're gonna come up on it.
Yeah, okay.
But young men are not supposed to die. Young men who look like Greek gods are really not supposed to die. And you just knew, Barry into the post.
It's unfortunate that came right after that being the big spot of the other match, on the last match. But
but
they probably didn't know. Yeah. So
here another guy died way too young.
Terry Gordy. Oh, yeah. God, yes.
I mean, there's something to be said about that era that as much as we remember it fondly, and I do, I grew up.
Right.
This is what made me love pro wrestling. Personalities, the over-the-top characters, the hard-hitting action, you know, the storytelling. But there's a cautionary tale in here of young men who died.
The toll it took on these guys and their families, and you know, and even the people who survived. Yeah.
when you're a 20 couple year old kid and you're being put over as the world's champion in front of 40,000 people in your hometown, basically,
right,
and you're treated like a star every night, you lose perspective.
Yeah.
Terry Gordy broke into the wrestling business, so I think at the age of 14.
That's what I remember. That's all I remember.
Obviously I have children. My youngest, my oldest son, of course, kind of refereed for us at about 14 or 15 years
old. I remember.
And we babysat him too. I mean, it wasn't like he was every match. Yeah, we kind of put him in a match or two.
He was protected. Yes, I know.
And always did a pretty good job. But I mean, that's really not part of the. But Terry Gordy was on the road every night with grown men. Mm-hmm. He was a headline star on national television by the time he was 18 or 19 years old.
Yeah.
How can who could have handled that?
It's not like you have all these good influences around you to try and steer you on the straight and narrow. That's the other thing.
I think it was Al Snow that said this, like wrestling back then, it was like most of these guys, if they weren't in wrestling, if there was no such thing as pro wrestling, they'd probably be in jail.
Yeah. that's the truth.
There probably wasn't a lot of people telling him to say no.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the current WWE documentaries. Oh, they wanted to chase their dream of becoming a professional wrestler, sports entertainer. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love that one.
Yeah. It wasn't like that. Yeah. It was not seen as an honorable profession.
No, it wasn't. It was really pretty much dumped upon. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to recover. Oh, he got an octopus on him.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was not. It was frowned upon. It was that these guys are all this or that, or they're outlaws or they're phonies.
Right.
And most of them were as real God. They just, maybe the matches were worked, but they were real.
Yes.
They were all too real. I saw Matt Bourne, who was a notoriously troubled soul.
He was real, yeah.
Kicked the ever-loving shit out of a Baltimore area wrestling promoter. Sorry, you got to beat that one.
I can guess which one it was too.
because he and I didn't even know what was going on, but I heard of this disruption outside the locker room door, and there Matt Bourne is dressed up as Doink the Clown. He's got this guy got him bent over, handful of mullet, kicking him in the face with the toe of his boots, just pounding the crap out of this guy.
Yeah,
and he's like, you don't know what.
Yeah.
It was an education. It was and it went from that to,
It's never going to be like that again.
Never again.
Nope.
Never again. And there's good in that. I'm not saying there isn't.
No, I agree. I agree.
I think once the death toll dropped, it improved immediately.
Yes.
So there's something to be said about there's a lot fewer young guys dying.
You're also not seeing as much of the cocktail of, the cocktail being, steroids combined with street drugs, combined with alcohol. Yeah.
It might have been on the road every night.
Yeah.
Exactly. Different town, not to mention there's with the way social media is and so forth. Now there's going to be a lot more accountability. It's going to be hard for you just to disappear into another territory or a different place if you screw up.
That's true.
You're more known to people individually.
You can't even get a job at Disneyland. Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, I mean, what's that about? I'm not a fan of that guy's work, but I mean,
I'm not a fan of what that guy did, but yeah.
No, neither am I, but I mean, does that mean he can never have a job again the rest of his life? I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's a tough one, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, was he notoriously, did he have trouble being around children in that regard?
That's not the accusation, no.
Exactly, so, yeah. You know. Yeah, we can talk all night about that.
We're not going to. It was just, I mean, there's still
the fight.
Yeah, I mean, Dustin Rhodes fights and fights and fights. Yep, keeps fighting. There we go. Up, oh, Doc's got him. Stampede time. Didn't quite hit that flush, but okay.
Nice job, Barry. Nice. Yep.
Still.
Always a little behind it on purpose, and that's good. That's a good. Right. That's good. Smart.
Here we go. Oh, here we go. Big chin. Here's Dustin's big chin. No, it's not. Oh, Doc shoots him off.
Gordy and Barry are fighting. Oof.
Oh, that's a good
tackle. Blow all the inside outer.
Yeah,
that's gonna do it.
And there's the one guy. And there's the two guys in the front row clapping, and everybody else is like, "Oh, yeah."
Everybody else is it's a disturbance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, sorry, fans. Your hero's lost. Go home.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens sometimes.
It's been it's been a rough night for the baby faces.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day,
Steiners, please enter now. There's a fan signs. Yep. All right, Doc, and okay, we got rid of the glut of title belts, and now Doc and Gordy Hall have all of them. So there you go. Problem solved.
Yes. Now we got rid of the other tag team championships, so we could have another second tag team championship.
Right.
And but I guess they were trying to reinforce their relationship
with the NWA, yep.
Which didn't matter 2 years earlier or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. That's right. At this point you had to be hyped for, you know, Rhodes and Windham getting their rematch, the Steiners getting their rematch.
I just remember what was it? It was probably only like October or something that Windham and Rhodes ended up being the champions.
They ended up getting it back, and Gordy split by Halloween Havoc. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they had like that kind of a mess of a starcade where I think Doc challenged Ron Simmons
because Rude was hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, and there was just a lot of injuries and just a lot of stuff going on.
And you're going to get a commercial. I think we're going to get the pregame show here with Tony and Magnum. All right, yeah, nothing to see here, folks. You can go home.
Yeah, it's over, everybody. And thank you.
No, really, it's over. Yeah. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, my commercial has Evander Holyfield in it. How about that?
Oh, cool.
He's like ordering he got a muffin at a coffee shop or something. What is this?
All right, well, Doc and Gordy have dropped by to talk to Magnum and Tony Schiavone.
Xfinity. That's confusing. 30 seconds left.
Doc's telling him, hey, Doc's celebrating, telling, hey, everybody, call the hotline. We'll be there in a minute.
Get on the hotline. Now.
We told everybody time and time again, says Terry Gordy. Yeah.
Time and time again. Always enjoyed Terry Gordy's interviews, especially with the Freebirds. But
they're going to hold these titles for a long, long time. Yep. New world champion. The whole wrestling world's buzzing. That's right. And we go back to Jim Ross and Jesse Ventura.
Whole big section of ringside not leaving yet.
Yeah. Well, they want to October 25th is Halloween Havoc. Oh boy. All right. Join us on TBS.
6:05, baby, next Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Your heroes all got beat tonight, Jim Ross. Ah! Thank you, Jesse. That's how things happen in World Championship Wrestling.
Uh-huh.
Bam, bam, Gordy. Vader is the man, Sting is a woman. Wow. Okay.
I remember that one.
That's not very woke, folks.
Political correctness meter.
WCW and the Fox Kids Club. No. Oh, yeah. Oh, and bam, don't forget bam. To call the wrestling hotline. Here we go.
Yeah, hit that up. That was a major source of their income, though. Again,
yeah, it was.
In the pre-internet era.
Yeah.
Doc and Bam Bam kicking butt is their business, and business is good.
That's right.
That the sign behind Jesse and Jim Ross said.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jesse, well, Sting was a great champion. He's ready to see the rematch. Okay.
Another shot of the cooker over Jesse's back.
Yep. There you go, that cooker. All right, everybody. Your executives, there's Bill Shaw, Robert Dewey, Bill Watts, Jim Ross, Virgil Runnels, Keith Mitchell, David Crockett, and yeah, we're just going to cut to the... Okay, and we're not going to even get the full credits. Thank you, Peacock. Oh, jeez. Okay, but that's your 1992 Great American Bash, America. Yes, and it was a thrill. We were glad to bring
Absolutely.
It to you.
Good show.
Bored of wrestling podcasts, but still want a little bit of wrestling talk? Well, It's Usually Hello is the show for you. We've got music debates, we've got comedy bits, we have some wrestling talk, we've got watch-alongs, we've got actual celebrity guests. Check out It's Usually Hello, the podcast, on YouTube and on iTunes, and all your best podcast and listening devices. It is, without a doubt, the funniest show in the history of podcasting, allegedly. And that's not just my opinion, that's also the fake opinions of the fantasy people that I see 24/7. Don't forget to leave the 5-star review, because there's only so many fake accounts one person can make.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website musicepique.com, musicuepique.com. Okay. So, yeah, now's the time we can go ahead and get to what happened next. And, well, that's actually pretty easy. So, Monday night, the 13th, there's no Raw. Primetime Wrestling is taped. So, WWF had two shows on a Monday night. The A show heads to Niagara Falls, New York, where in front of 1,500 people, it's the Legion of Doom beating the Beverly Brothers. And in the main event, Randy Savage and Bret Hart team up to defeat Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels when Savage pins Michaels.
There's a great version of that particular match on the...
on YouTube?
Well, was it the Bret Hart Unseen or DVD? Yeah, it was a great match.
Yeah, some of that's on YouTube. We might have to go back and revisit that at some point or another, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. The B show is in New Haven, Connecticut, where if you were there, you got to see the Natural Disasters beat the tag team champions Money Incorporated by countout. And in the main event, yes, it's the Ultimate Warrior teaming up with the Undertaker to defeat the Berserker and Papa Shango. Okay.
That had to be a visual.
I'm pretty sure that's on YouTube. I'm pretty sure there's one of those on YouTube too in the WWE unreleased category. Yes, we don't
give a tag team match.
We don't have to watch it right now, though.
Yeah. I remember seeing in Baltimore live Kane and Undertaker against Kali and Big Daddy V, which is that's what I like to call like the gimmick spectacle tag match. the big four freaks.
Absolutely. You don't want to miss that. No. Oh, that's it. Okay. So that happened. Meanwhile, WCW, everybody got Monday off, but on Tuesday they went to Center Stage for their big for two episodes of WCW Saturday Night. The July 18th episode is headlined by the Steiner Brothers defeating Terry Taylor and Bobby Eaton, and that's Terry Taylor on his way out as his contract did not get renewed. And July 25th episode, big six-man tag as Dustin Rhodes, Barry Windham, and Johnny B. Badd beat Steve Austin, Cactus Jack, and Greg Valentine in a six-man tag.
Wow. Eclectic mix.
That's got to be on Peacock actually, because they should have all the WCW Saturday Nights from 1992. That's not the main event. The main event of that episode: Nikita Koloff beating Arn Anderson. So,
okay,
fine stuff. Yep. And there you have it. Okay, so yeah. All right, well, we already know what we're going to see next time out. Next time out is the 1997 WWF Survivor Series. One of those shows that it's amazing that we hadn't done previously, but we're coming up on 25 years. And, you know, while everybody else is talking SummerSlam, we can dive into the 1997 Survivor Series in Montreal.
I can honestly tell you I have not watched that show since the night it happened. So that'll be something fresh to look at.
I think it's been examined by a lot of people over the years. I'm ready to watch it with fresh eyes. You know, because the show itself, as I remember, wasn't much outside of the feature matches that we talked about last week. There you go. 1997 Survivor Series with the tagline "Gang Rules," because there were stables feuding with each other, as you know.
Right. There was the Bariquas, and there was the Nation of Domination, and there was the DOA.
The DOA. Don't forget the Truth Commission.
The Truth Commission and Degeneration X. There's so many different gang rules.
Yep, there you go.
The Brood, I think.
We're not up with the brood yet, but there's going to be not. Let's see, one, two. Yeah, we got four different Survivor Series elimination matches on the show, in addition to all the other good stuff. So come on by. That'll be something, Shane. I know you're excited about that.
Absolutely, why not?
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about everything leading up to Bret Hart getting released from his contract by the World Wrestling Federation, and all the shenanigans surrounding that. And WCW completely failing to take advantage of the situation,
which was probably the beginning of their undoing.
It said something that they got Bret Hart and they just didn't know what to do with him. And, having all those different people with creative control certainly didn't help anything.
Yeah, we can get into that. I mean, I have my own theories and opinions on that. And I guess that we got several weeks that we'll be talking about it.
I've got to go back and read, believe it or not, Dave Meltzer actually put his essay as to what happened at the Survivor Series, which more or less contained, Bret Hart's entire point of view on the situation, out for free for everybody to read, which is something that, I don't think that's ever going to happen again either. Anyway, we'll get to all that. But in the meantime, come visit us on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. Shane is at One Only Shane Shad One, and Jim Valley is at Jim Valley. Maybe he can stop by for this, but we'll try to get him for the anniversary show coming up here in several weeks. Leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever your pods are cast. We'll get to see it, and we'll thank you for it. Reviews have been good so far. And, of course, if you'd like to know more about Sting or Big Van Vader or Harley Race or Barry Windham or Dustin Rhodes, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or the Wrestling Observer, or you can go download your local library app because they're all in books. Shane.
Same way back time, same playback channel.
Yes, you know, it's going to be weird because SummerSlam is going to be in July, which, you know, I'm not going to get used to for some time. Never happened yet, but we're going to be having fun reliving 25 years ago, which was actually a fun year to be a wrestling fan. Imagine that. We'll do it all. Join us then. Until then, yesterday's a history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.